Well, as Australians, we are accustomed to keeping our traditions, our family traditions, or whatever we may do. Traditions can be different for each family or for each person, but still so significant and so important to us that we strive to do them exactly the same way, perhaps every year. And usually around the festive season, many of us will get excited to do or uphold certain things. You know, you put up your Christmas tree on a certain day, or certain people have to decorate it with their own ball or whatever it is that they may have to do. Traditions like that. Or if you're like me, Australia Day, I always enjoy putting up my Australian flag for people to see. Even if they don't get to see it, I feel good that I've put it up. Well, that's one of my traditions. And we can see that usually when people get married, they figure out exactly who it is that they have married when they move in together, because we start to see traditions begin to clash because they don't do things that I'm used to doing, or you know, perhaps my wife does something that I don't like, or I do something that she doesn't like, and traditions seem to mingle. Things have been handed down from parents and grandparents, things that we see as important for us to keep doing, to uphold, and to do as often as we can. And if someone begins to change that tradition, we can get mad, because that's my tradition, that's how things are supposed to be done. Now, usually we can adapt and we can change to keep the peace with our loved ones. We can change our traditions to sort of work in together. But what if you believe that your tradition made you more acceptable to God? Or if it made you more holy? Or what if you believe that it was commanded by God? Would you so easily give up your tradition then? Well, the Jewish people had a lot of traditions. And these traditions were far more important to them than our traditions that we have, perhaps just for fun. One in particular we see in Mark chapter 7, where the Pharisees and the scribes believed Jesus was ignoring such a custom. And the tradition was that before they ate anything, that they would wash their hands. Now, you might be thinking, that's not a tradition, that's just good hygiene. Well, that's true. But for the Jew, this was a very important tradition, especially if you were a Pharisee. Because you see, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, the priests were made to wash their hands and their feet before they would enter the tent of meeting. Before they would come into the presence of God, they were required to wash. And as time has gone on, the Pharisees and many of the Jews took it upon themselves to take part in this ritual washing. It was extremely important for them. And now in Mark 7, we see that the Pharisees and some of the scribes, okay, remember the scribes who in Mark 3, if you remember, they had previously accused Jesus of being someone who was possessed with a demon. And we see that the Pharisees and the scribes gather to Jesus. Now, some of them even came from Jerusalem. So assuming Jesus is still in Gennesaret, based on the verses beforehand, that was about 110 kilometers away from Jerusalem. So this was a big deal for these leaders, for the Pharisees and the scribes, to come and to gather to Jesus. Perhaps they had a change of heart, but I think not. Because we see as soon as they arrived into the presence of Jesus and his followers, they noticed something they disagreed with. Verse 2, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. They were eating with defiled hands. It doesn't just mean to the Jew that they had been out in the garden and then they didn't wash their hands before they had lunch. It doesn't mean that. Defiled can mean unclean, as in unholy. This is a disgrace to act like this, to eat food given by God, to not wash your hands. It was a big deal to them. This was unheard of. So even Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was a Pharisee, he said in his letter to the Galatians that he was just like the other Pharisees, because he was, to quote, so extremely zealous, he says, was I for the traditions of my fathers, So just like these Pharisees here, Paul was the same. He was zealous for these traditions. He didn't want to see people break these traditions. How dare you not wash your hands when you're required to wash them before you eat? They were so important because they had been handed down from generation to generation. And then all of a sudden, these disciples of Jesus, okay, not just people following in the crowd, because if you remember, thus far, there was always a crowd of people following Jesus. But Jesus' disciples, people who strive to be like him, people who follow him around to learn from him, these people are seen to be breaking a tradition that had been handed down by the elders of Israel. And verse 4 tells us that the Jews strictly observe their traditions, and they expect all Jews, all of God's people, to do the same. And so we read that the Pharisees and the scribes asked him a question. It's interesting now that the Pharisees and the scribes have sort of teamed up together now to take on Jesus. The Pharisees were intimidated by Jesus, and the scribes, as I just mentioned earlier, they accused Jesus. None of them liked him. And they said this, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" This is a huge accusation to bring against Jesus. Why do your disciples? You would think if they have a problem with the disciples, they would go to the disciples because they're the people who are being accused. Jesus is not being accused of eating with dirty hands, with defiled hands. His followers are. But the problem is because they're Jesus' followers, his disciples. So therefore, the Pharisees and the scribes are saying, this is your problem. You need to deal with this. You have disciples. They're following you. They're doing what you tell them to do. They're walking how you want them to walk. They're following after you. Therefore, this is all on you, Jesus. It's all up to you to fix. So they come to him and they ask him the question. And they word their question in a very smart way. They don't just say, oh, why aren't they washing up before they eat? This is the religious elite looking down on Jesus here. And they say, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? You see, this is a serious question. A serious accusation. Why are they not doing what has been passed on from generation to generation? Now, we must note that this is not a requirement in the law for all Jews, but one that came from the elders, one that came from generation to generation, meaning this is the oral law, verbally spoken, given by the elders, given by generation to generation to generation. It is not in the law of Moses. It is not in the law of God, but has been spoken from man to man. I remember the first Christmas that I had at Bree's house with her family. And it came time to pull the bonbons, you know, the Christmas bonbons. And I picked mine up, as you do, and I grabbed it tightly with one hand ready to go, just to point it at anybody who would, you know, feel like they'd like to take me on. But then all of a sudden, everybody at the table had picked up their bonbon in this sort of weird way, with their thumb and their finger, and then they had all crossed their arms like this, so that their right hand would be doing the person on their left, and their left hand would be doing the person on the right, and they all linked up together except for me, and I'm sitting there looking like, what's going on? This was their tradition. This is something that they had been taught, that they had been shown, that they had been done for all these Christmases. I had no idea what was going on. But I wouldn't try and change their tradition. That's what they do. It'd been given from man to man and passed down the line. Now, that's just a fun tradition. You know, children learn that from their parents and it gets passed on. But for the Pharisees, they viewed this tradition given orally, I say, given and spoken from generation to generation. This tradition of ritual cleaning is something to be equal with the written law of God. That's how important they viewed this. And therefore, whoever breaks it is sinning against God. And they accuse Jesus of this very thing. Your disciples don't walk according to the elders. They walk according to you, Jesus. They are following after you. It was a rude and a hateful question, which explains why Jesus responds the way that he did. In verse 6 and 7a, Jesus said this, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Now the Pharisees, remember, know the scriptures well. They know the Old Testament well. So they would know Isaiah very well. And then Jesus calls them hypocrites. Why is he calling them hypocrites when they just came and asked him a question? See, the problem is these men, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were looking to condemn Jesus and his disciples by accusing them of breaking these traditions. And Jesus responds with one of the most profound answers. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." These words should frighten every single person sitting in this church and every single Christian scattered all throughout the world. Because right now, we come together to honor Jesus with our lips. And it's very rare for us to evaluate where our hearts are. You see, it's easy in many ways for us to honor God with our lips. Jesus doesn't tell the Pharisees that nobody's worshiping God. In fact, he says, in vain do they worship. They're trying to worship, but it's futile. It's pointless. It's useless. It's only for show. Jesus is saying these Pharisees and these scribes, they walk around striving to look religious and to look important. Why? Because they believe they are worshiping God by honoring him this way, by upholding the traditions of men this way. In vain they worship because they teach doctrines, as doctrines, the commandments of men. These traditions are simply traditions. They are verbal traditions passed down through generation to generation. And these men are standing there saying how bad it is that the disciples are not following after these things. Now the Pharisees are treating these traditions, Jesus says, as doctrines. Doctrine simply means teachings, something important to be taught. But the problem is they come from men. They are simply commandments from men, to quote Isaiah, not from God. This is what the Pharisees prefer. This is what they see as ideal and necessary for holiness. But they are wrong. They are wrong and they do not see it. And we might think, well, this is silly for these sorts of things. You know, they're not around today. Nobody, you know, holds to traditions like this. Or are they? Think about it. The Apostle Paul warns us in Colossians. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Now, I know of many people who used to and who do attend church simply because it's a tradition that they're used to doing. They go because their parents brought them up going to church. Therefore, well, we may as well just keep going to church on Sunday. They go because all of their family does it, so I better join in and do it with them. And it just becomes a tradition. That's why at Easter time, on Easter Sunday, the majority of churches tend to see more people coming through the doors. That's the only time you're going to see them, because that's their tradition, to attend church on Easter Sunday. And for these people, they believe that they will be saved through these things, that somehow it makes them better. But sadly, there'll be many people that Jesus will say, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." these people come to church or they go to Bible study or they go to a prayer group or they do all these traditions from men, trusting in them. They stand in church to sing because that's what we're meant to do. They bow their heads in prayer because that's what they've been taught to do. They honour with their lips only by things that are seen. And their hearts are far from God. They are some words I do not want to hear. And God say to me, we need to ask ourselves, where are our hearts? Do we simply do things and hold to things as important because that's what men say to do? That's what we've been taught to do. Do we obey the traditions of men? Or do we obey the word of God? Do we put on a show because everyone else will know that, well, now I'm a Christian. I look the same or I act the same. I blend into the crowd. I blend into the traditions of men. Well, it may fool some of us, but Jesus tells us often in the scriptures, God knows your heart. He knows our hearts. So ask yourself, where is your heart? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? This is something that only you can answer for yourself. This is something only each of us knows ourselves. No one can answer this for you. The people around us only see our lip service. Do you, like the Pharisees, verse 8, you leave the commandment of God and you hold to the traditions of men? Is that what you do? Forget about what God says. Listen to me. Forget about what God says with same-sex marriage or abortion or how to lead or the government or how to worship Him. Forget about what those things are. Listen to men. Listen to the people around us because that's easier. And we hear these sorts of excuses. That's what my parents told me. That's how I was brought up. That's what I'm used to doing. But is that what God said? For the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your own tradition. And he gave an example. Now, when Jesus quotes from Moses, he's quoting from God. He's not saying Moses has the authority. He's saying Moses was given the authority by God. And he says this, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother. That's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. That comes from God, okay? Verse 11, but you say, so he's looking at the Pharisees, he's looking at the scribes, but you say this, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you have gained from me is korban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. And here's the result, you ready? Verse 13, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. You're telling your children to not honor their parents. God said to honor them, and you're saying, don't do it? Because of a tradition? And the outcome is that these Pharisees are making void the word of God. It means nothing because their tradition is so important. That's how they've been taught. That's the foundation they stand on. Making God's word meaningless because they find authority in something else. We can easily sit back and say that that's not around today. But we know it is. And so we must ask ourselves some very simple questions. Do we only honor God with our lips? Is that all we do? Are our hearts far from Him? Do we obey men and follow after what the world says? Follow the traditions of the people around us, even if they go against the Word of God? Or do we obey God? And do we worship Him with our hearts, with our soul, with our mind, and with all of our strength? Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank You for this section in Mark where we see how our Lord Jesus Christ again just shows the foolishness of the Pharisees and the scribes and how they have taken things way too far and they've made it difficult for people to know You and to obey You. Father, we know that we too stumble in many ways and that we can follow after traditions that we have. Not all traditions are evil at all, but there can be many that blind us into thinking that we are saved when we are not. Help us, Father, to know our hearts, and help us not to just worship You by our lips, but to worship You from our hearts. Help us to desire You and to love You with all of our hearts. And from that, may we then worship You from our lips as the overflow of our love for You. Please help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.